ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Do you want to know who's really responsible for Donald Trump becoming president? It's Alan Funt. Yes. He's the man who invented reality TV, kind of by bugging people.
There was something kind of pervy and boundary crossing that isn't easy to sentimentalize.
I'm Mark Fennell, and that is just one exceptionally weird individual who changed the course of history, but trust me, there are more, and you'll hear about them. Just search for No One Saw It Coming on the ABC Listen app.
Sarah, I've been thinking about matchmaking.
Ooh, tell me more.
Well, I've been reading Emma, Jane Austen's fourth published novel about the fabulous Emma Woodhouse.
Yes.
And yeah, I've been wondering, have you ever been a matchmaker?
No, I really can't say I have. But my marriage, it is the result of a setup by friends. So, I mean, maybe we're in good Jane Austen territory there.
Oh, okay. I need to learn more about that. But we should probably talk about Emma. She's such a complicated character. I love her. I think she'd be really fun to hang out with because she's handsome, she's rich, she's clever, she's witty and charming. But of course, she's also used to getting her own way. She's stubborn, maybe a little conceited. And her lesson in the novel is going to be she is going to learn to be more humble, and she's going to learn that she can't always get what she wants.
Oh, drat. I really warmed to Emma because of this very fact, because she is flawed. Mm. And Claire, Emma is certainly a favourite of Laaleen Sukeyra, who grew up reading Jane Austen in Pakistan. And Laaleen, you took this passion for Jane Austen to a whole new level over a decade ago.
I'm the founder of the Jane Austen Society of what was first Pakistan, but is now the Middle East, North Africa, and Pakistan. So we've grown a little bit. It grows with me.
You're taking over.
Well, I don't know if it's taking over, but I would say that there's a lot more people that are interested in Austen's world and have an affinity with her novels and characters than most people think in different regions of the world. And I don't know. It just happened very organically. And we had a little tea party. Some of my friends came and some people I didn't know. So it was like a mix of people. This was in Islamabad when I used to live there. And the photos got really popular. And I would say they went viral in some circles in the Jane Austen universe. And yeah, just took off.
And Claire, the members of the Jane Austen Society in Pakistan, get this, you'll love it. They even dress up.
Awesome. I do love a good bonnet. I do worry if I was in the society, I would get totally carried away trying to dress like the perfect Austen heroine.
I've actually mostly worn things that are in my actual wardrobe, but it's not that difficult to improvise. I've also purposefully bought certain things. I've dressed up as Mr. Darcy once myself as well. I was just tired of nobody doing that. But you know, you just need a high-waisted Empire Line dress, and then you can cinch it in the waist there. You wear a bolero and a shawl, some gloves, put your hair up. I mean, it's really not that difficult.
And of course, Emma is a style icon too. What do you relate to with this heroine, Laaleen?
You know, I relate to so many things about Emma. And first of all, she's not a very popular heroine, but I find her appealing. And what I like about her is she didn't need to get married. She's the only heroine who actually did not need to get married. She just did it because she wanted to. And there's this independence and freedom in that, you know, not feeling compelled. Her father certainly didn't want her to get married. And she certainly didn't need it for financial, for her continuity as well into adulthood and old age. She was independent. So that's one thing I really like about her. And I know she meddled a lot in people's lives, but she did mean well. And she did learn along the way. So I think she has a lot of redeeming qualities. And yes, I have played Cupid my entire life. And I've even become a matchmaker in the last couple of years. So I actually do. And I've also lived with my dad, who's a widowed. So I relate to her in so many ways.
I love this idea of these Austen-esque afternoon teas in Islamabad. And I guess the appeal makes sense, right? Because Pakistan is a former British colony.
Yeah, and Laaleen herself comes from this wealthy background. So she was mixing in a crowd equivalent to the aristocracy in Austen's Regency England. And she grew up speaking English and also reading the British canon. It's part of her everyday life. Laaleen, I'm wondering when you noticed these parallels between these two seemingly very different worlds.
So I didn't actually notice them until I started college. So I was I went to college in the States, and the settings and the dialogues and the sort of social construct and context of what was modern day Pakistan back then in, you know, the mid to late 90s and early 2000s versus the 19th century, there were so many parallels, you know, the drawing room society and sort of the marriage market and the emphasis on people's background and ancestry and, you know, marriages being brokered between families. And then, of course, you know, as I became older, and then I realized, okay, the society was, you know, the upper classes, more decadent, you know, your own social codes, various forms of etiquette. All of this was very relatable, and perhaps so much more relatable than to, like, say, the modern American, you know, to whom tea time wasn't a norm, but they considered it, oh, it's very posh and very fancy. And I'm like, actually, no, not really. It's just part of life. We just have tea time. So we don't just see her as frothy and an escape. Enjoyable, yes. Relatable, yes. But also she hits the very core of what most of us know and understand. Like, you just automatically, it doesn't need to be explained to you. You just know it instinctively. Oh yeah, of course. That's how people think. That's what mothers say. That's what aunts behave. That's how men behave. That's how their mothers behave. You know, it's just sort of, not a revelation. It's just there. It's a reflection rather.
That is so fascinating to think that Austen's world might make more sense to a reader in Pakistan than it does to an American, for example, and maybe also to an Australian audience too.
Yeah, honestly, there are times when I was reading Emma and I just didn't recognise it. But it's not just Pakistan, you know. There's a Jane Austen Society in Japan, in Brazil, Mexico, Italy. I feel like Jane Austen unites rather than divides.
And, you know, it's been so interesting rereading all these Austen novels right now, because I think, Sarah, when I was younger, I was so caught up in the romances, right? This time, I was really struck by how tenuous these women's lives are. And Laaleen's made it clear Emma is pretty independent, but for Austen's other heroines, their future depends on a good marriage. If something goes wrong, these women, they might not have a decent place to live.
Yeah, so even though Emma, you know, it's this quite light-hearted story about matchmaking, if you think about the position of 17-year-old Harriet Smith, who Emma takes under her wing as a sort of project, ultimately everything depends on Harriet being married well.
Yeah.
But she can't have her sights set above her station or too far below. It's this sort of delicate dance all around expectations on women. And Laaleen, this is something you really relate to as well.
Absolutely. There's this line that translates from Urdu, and it's what will people think? And you grow up hearing that line, and then you get so fed up of that line. And that line was memed as well at women's rights marches in Pakistan and the major cities, because people are really fed up with it. And I don't think Gen Z really takes to it very well either. But my generation, you know, I'm 48 years old, so I've seen sort of both sides of that coin. And all of that, like, social pressures, what will people think, getting married by a certain age, having a child by a certain age. You go from your parents' house to your husband's house. And even for men, by the way, most of them still live with their parents their entire lives. They actually never get to move out. So people are very dependent. Families are very close-knit. And I think the positives and the negatives are sort of interweave with each other. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of expectations. But then again, women, young women, increasingly write their own narratives. But it's really nice to have sort of Jane Austen there who understands where you're coming from and what a big deal it is if you've actually gone off on your own and achieved something for yourself.
We're celebrating 250 years of Jane Austen here on The Book Show. I'm Claire Nichols, and Sarah Lestrange, we're joined by Laleen Sukera, who set up the Jane Austen Society of Pakistan.
And I don't know about you, Claire, but reading Jane Austen for this series, I thought about which character I would be. But of course, I'm a middle-aged woman now, so I've aged out of any of the younger characters. What about you? Who would you be?
Oh, gosh. In Emma, maybe I would be Miss Bates.
No.
Because you know me, I love nattering away excited about everything, maybe not knowing how to read the room and when to stop talking. I love her. I think she's gorgeous.
Yeah, but you're the least like Miss Bates of any person I know. If anyone, you are Emma, because you're fun to be around, you're chatty, you're social. But anyway, that's also something we can talk about later. But do you remember that moment when Emma is really rude to Miss Bates? She really humiliates her publicly. That's heartbreaking, that scene, isn't it?
Yeah, and of course it comes to Mr. Knightley to have to call her out on that. Mm. I do think there is something there, though. We've had these moments in life, right, where we've said something cruel to someone without even really noticing. And yeah, I love the way that Austen, you know, from over 200 years ago, can speak to us today.
Yes, we return to Austen for everything to do with behaviour and good behaviour. And Laleen Sukera, we need to know now, which Austen character would you be?
I suppose I would be Mrs. Bennet. I have three daughters. But the thing is, I'm not obsessed about their marriage. I'm like, please, let's wait till you're at least 30 and then you can decide if you even want to. First, you know, have a full life, have a brilliant education. You know, things that we learn in our lifetimes and things we wish we were told. I lost my mother at a young age, but, you know, her words have always stayed with me, and she was really into education and standing on your own two feet, but also, you know, building a family, having a happy marriage. But not all of us can have a happy marriage. I'm divorced. So, you know, in addition to that, I have empathy for people that happen to in her novels. Say Maria Bertram, she gets ostracized from society. She lives on the fringe of society in Mansfield Park. I mean, there are people who, you know, she's presented them in a very modern way without being judgy about them. And I like that.
Oh, Maria Bertram. So she's from Mansfield Park. And of course, she's the character who kind of like has her cake and eats it too. She marries boring Mr. Rushworth because she knows that's the right thing to do. But then she goes and has a fling with Henry Crawford. And then, of course, in true Austen style, she pays the price for her behaviour, Sarah. She's shunned by society and lives alone with the dour Mrs. Norris for company. But I have to say, I totally understand why she goes for Mr. Crawford. Those two, they have chemistry.
Oh, me too. And he's fun. And, you know, the heroes in Austen, they are nothing without the cads. Mm-hmm. We need the cads. They're kind of this counterbalance, don't you think, to the serious heroes like Mr. Knightley or Mr. Darcy. And, mm-hmm. you know, quite frankly, I'm with you, Claire, in Mansfield Park. Henry Crawford is a lot more interesting than Fanny Price's eventual flame, Edmund Bertram.
Her cousin.
Yeah, or Maria Bertram's Mr. Rushworth. Mm-hmm. They really do make the heroes look more noble.
They do. And the cads are actually very attractive. And, you know, I have literally fallen for her cads myself. So, you know, I've learned as well along the way. Okay, that's a red flag. Yeah. So, you know, it's a journey. We're still learning, students of life. But that's the beauty of Austen's novels. You can pick them up at any time of your life and you see something else that you didn't see when you were younger. And as you get older, you appreciate it more and more. You can read it as a comedy, you can read it as a romance, but you can also read it as, you know, I wouldn't say a playbook on how to live your life, but there's some very good lessons in there and there's some hard truths. For a lot of people in South Asia, the Middle East, Muslim countries, I mean, where the son of the house inherits everything and the daughters are not really part of the plan. They're just meant to be married off.
Laleen Sequeira, thank you.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be part of this.
And Sarah Lestrange, this has been so much fun.
We can't get enough of talking about Jane Austen. And next time, I really can't wait for this, Claire, Karen Joy Fowler, one of my favourite authors. She wrote this novel inspired by our dear Jane, the Jane Austen Book Club.
Yeah, we're going to be diving into the world of Jane Austen adaptations to find out why writers keep returning to this 250-year-old author.
She never gets old, Claire.
And don't wait to listen to the whole series. In the words of Jane Austen, silly things do cease to be silly if they are done by sensible people in an impudent way. Happy birthday, dear Jane.
Hello, Book Show listener. Jane Austen, 250 years on. Dear me. Jonathan Green here from Every Bite, and I'm prepared to bet that the Book Show has not covered one fundamental ingredient of the novels of our Jane. You guessed it, the food. That's what we're here for. So if you have a hankering to know what happens in the Austen culinary universe, check it out on Every Bite.
I feel like, you know, that there's that idea of an amuse-bouche, that kind of little French beautiful thing that you pop in your mouth and it kind of explodes with flavour. And that's really what she's doing. Every tiny little mention of food does a huge amount unpacking what is food doing in Georgian society.
Find Every Bite in this episode, Soup and Sensibility, at the ABC Listen app.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.